Good morning. It's an honor to be able to stand before you and present a few ideas. Justin, you can leave that image up if you don't mind. This is my PowerPoint. We're going to sing the song in a few minutes. And the rest, you just have to listen, I suppose. So in our songbooks, we do sing number 407, He Leadeth Me. I'd like to start by reading it to you. Says, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by God's grace the victory's won, e'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. This is one of those songs I've been singing since before I knew what leadeth meant, and certainly before I knew the message of the song. But it's a beautiful hymn, and I have a couple of books that Carolee got for me, where they give you the story behind the hymn, you know, what the author was inspired by and that kind of thing. This particular hymn was written by Dr. Joseph H. Gilmore in 1862. He's the son of the governor of New Hampshire. He's a young man, a recent graduate, and he was preparing for a midweek service. He was going to be preaching on the 23rd Psalm. And he says he had done that three or four times before, but this time as he was preparing, he didn't get past those words, He leadeth me. He said, it was the darkest hour of the Civil War. I did not refer to that fact. That is, I don't think I did, but it may subconsciously have led me to realize that God's leadership is the one significant fact in human experience, that it makes no difference how we are led or whether we are led, so long as we are sure God is leading us. And after the service, he and a few others went over to Deacon Watson's home, and they continued to discuss the idea from this sermon. And as they were talking, he says he was writing and talking at the same time. He wrote this hymn there and then, and he handed it to his wife, and he says he thought about it no more. Well, his wife took it and sent it to a paper in Boston who published it. And a couple years later, William B. Bradbury set music to it. In 1865, he got to find out that William B. Bradbury set music to it because he went to a church in Rochester, sat down, opened the hymnal, and opened it to his song that was in the hymnal. And so that was the inspiration. He was preparing for a sermon on the 23rd Psalm. So let's start by reading that psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a beautiful psalm. And this is a beautiful hymn. Let's sing He Leadeth Me, number 407. Oh, me soul, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes
of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by God's grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
So when I read this story about this hymn, I decided I wanted to preach about it. The problem is that it can go in a million different directions. And so I went on a lot of tangents. I prepared 30 different sermons that I deleted right after I wrote them. So I really had to hit the editing room pretty hard so that we don't stay here too long. We all got to go to lunch. So what I want to talk about it is the inspiration behind the song. Dr. Joseph Gilmore talking about how it doesn't matter how we are led. It doesn't matter where we are led, as long as we're sure that God is leading us. And that thought behind it, that the Civil War most likely influenced this thought. And I started thinking about the Civil War and what it looked like. You had soldiers in gray uniforms on this side of the battlefield and soldiers in blue uniforms on this side of the battlefield. And they knew what their enemy looked like, and they attacked each other. And it was bloody, and it was awful. I think about the war that we have today, the war on terrorism. What does the enemy look like? They dress like the people around them. They don't separate themselves and go to a battlefield and fight. They're fighting in the middle with the children and the people that want nothing to do with it. They're cloaking themselves to where you can't tell who they are. And our troops have a hard time discerning who the enemy even is. And then I think about our spiritual war that's going on. And make no mistake, we are at war as Christians. We have that civil war type. There's atheists. There are people that don't believe in God who try to take people to other gods that don't even exist. We can see that. But then there's also this other deceptive enemy, is there not? People that wear the name Christian, but then they don't follow Christ. I've had some great opportunities to be able to talk to different people over the years about spiritual things. I think it's because of Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. I better just read it or I'll butcher it. And actually, let's start in verse 6. I'm sorry, let's go all the way back to verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. This idea of talking about spiritual things, no matter where you are, and and teaching them to your children, and just in general, having spiritual thoughts on your mind and expressing them is something that I've taken to heart from an early age. And so a verse pops in my head, a song pops in my head, a thought pops in my head, and I might be in a business meeting, but I'll typically say it out loud. And so it has sparked a lot of conversations, which has been a good thing in my life. But there's also some sad times with that. I was talking to a younger man. I was, I don't know, 31, 32. So it was just a few years ago. Talking to a guy that was in his early 20s that approached me and he said, "Hey, Trevor, where do you go to church?" I said, I worship at Olson Park Church of Christ. He said, "I knew you were Church of Christ. I knew it." I was like, "Okay." He said, I grew up in a Church of Christ too. But I married a woman. I think she was Presbyterian. I don't know, another denomination. They compromised and they worship at a non-denominational fellowship church. He said, "Now, I know that the instrumental music thing, it bothers me, but it's not a salvation issue, so it's really not a big deal." Which is a great opportunity for me to explain why instrumental music is a big deal, why rebelling against God in any way is a salvation issue. Well, as we were talking, other people start, you know, we were in a big area, and other people start jumping in. A Catholic jumps in, a Baptist, another fellowship church type person. And so the conversation kind of got lost from there, with everybody wanting to share what they believe. That same afternoon, so this was at about midday, close to lunchtime, a couple hours later, this same guy that wants to talk to me about spiritual things starts going around and figuring out who's going to go to happy hour with them and which bar they're going to go to for their drinking party. Well, where... What happened to the guy I was just talking to that's interested in spiritual things, that wants to talk about spiritual things? The following Monday, I remember this because I was just so incredulous by it. He was bragging to his coworker, and again, we all sat in a big room so I could overhear him. He's bragging about lying to one of our suppliers to be able to get a price break. And I'm just wondering, where is this guy? This guy that calls himself a Christian is the same guy that arranges for drinking parties, that openly and boldly participates in sinful behavior. It's a war. Another guy, a couple years later, and I think I've talked about this in a Bible class, he decided he wanted to divorce his wife. He started dating another girl at the same time. And then he was about to engage to her. He said, "Trevor, I know you're not going to agree with this, but I'm getting divorced and I'm going to marry this other woman." And I said, "Well, why would you say that?" He's like, "Oh, I know what you believe. I know what you believe." And I was like, "And what's that? That you don't think anybody should ever divorce for any reason?" I said, "I do agree. We shouldn't get divorced. But that's not the whole story. Do you want to hear the whole story?" "Sure, yeah." So we sit down and I teach him the issue of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He decides, even though his wife wasn't cheating on him, that somehow it was sexual adultery because she was withholding from him. Well, he goes home that night and he talks to his mother, who was a Methodist youth minister for 30 years and is his counselor. He has counseling sessions to prepare for his upcoming engagement that he's planning on. And so he came back the next day smiling. He said, "Trevor, I talked to my mom, and she explained to me that God just wants me to be happy. And she sees that I'm much happier than I am now that I'm with this new person than I was with the old person. And that's what God wants from me. He just wants me to be happy, so I'm getting married." So I tried to explain to him that that's not a biblical principle. That's actually Satanism. The idea of wanting to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, that's Satanism. And yet, I don't know if that's what his mother really was trying to say or not, or if he twisted her words, or if that's what she really said. Either way, These are people that call themselves Christians teaching Satanism. We are at war against these ideas. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Y'all know the verse, even though I don't know, my words came out weird that time. I don't think there's a such thing as a lion. But the point is that these might be even fairly simple to recognize. This is, even though they call themselves a Christian, that's not a Christian. We know that. Let me give you one that's truly subtle. I know I've talked about this regularly, but I was raised in the church. I had this great opportunity to be raised in the church by godly parents. And it was a wonderful experience for me. And I honor my parents. It's easy to do because they are godly people. But I am especially a daddy's girl. He's the one that I favor, even though I don't play favorites. When my dad says something, I listen. When my dad gives me advice, I do it. I trust my dad. If there's any doubt, ask Carolee. She's got the story. She'll put that doubt to rest. But I truly honor my dad, and I put him on a pedestal. I listen to what he says, and I really respect his advice. The moment that I take his advice and I follow him blindly, no matter what direction he's leading me, I am no longer being led by my father. I'm being led by my dad. So he could be teaching me the right things. He could be trying to lead me towards God. But if I'm following him and not God, if I'm not testing those things, like Sam in his prayer, let's test those things that are being said. If I don't do that test and I follow blindly, then I'm lost. That's how subtle the war is. I might be going the right direction, following my dad, but I'm lost because I followed him. I put my faith and my trust in him instead of God. It's really a scary thought when I think about it. As somebody that was raised in the church, I had to transition out of that. We're taught from an early age, follow your parents. They'll lead you in the right direction, which is true. But when you become a man, when you become a Christian, you have to put that aside. You have to say, okay, I know dad's telling me that I have to go to church today, but what does God say? Well, God says I have to go to church. But I have to do that test. So, let's remember we are at war. Now, I want to ask the question, how do you know that you're led by God? This is another thing that could go a million different directions. But I want to look at one verse, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You know what? I skipped the whole point. Let's go instead of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll finish my last point first, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Paul talking to the Corinthians says, "For you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants from through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." So for me, it's my dad. My parents led me. But if I start calling him, start saying, "I am of Daryl Yons," I'm lost. And it might be Kyle. It might be the elders. It might be whoever it is that brought you to Christ. It might be your parents. If you begin to put that faith in them, just like the Corinthians, then you're lost. Paul was teaching the right things. Apollos was teaching the right things. And yet these people were in the wrong because they followed the wrong person. They didn't. I'm sure they were singing songs like Psalm 23. They were saying, "Yes, God, you lead me. Oh, but I'm of Paul." And so we have to be very careful about that. Make sure that we're led by God. Okay, now let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And answer the question, how to know that you are led by God? It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That old man is dead. I no longer live. He's gone. Christ now lives in me. So if you want to answer that question, you can't go to some checklist that says, hey, you're supposed to pray this many hours a day and study this many hours a day. You're supposed to do this many good deeds. And if you do this, you only have to do two, but this, you have to do four. There's no checklist like that. You need to look inside yourself. Can you honestly say that I have put the old man to death, and now it is Christ living in me? And you'll get your answer. If we're honest with ourselves, we'll get our answer. So let's remember, there is a war going on, a spiritual war, and it's coming from every front. Make sure that it's God that's leading you. If you're not a Christian, I urge you to become one. Get in the fight. Be a good, positive influence to others. Right now, you're a negative influence to others. If you are not helping, if you are not fighting this spiritual war, you are hurting the spiritual war, even if you believe you're neutral. Become a Christian right now. If anyone has a need, please let it be known now as we stand and as we stand.